You can open your Bibles up to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. New Living Translation. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God. And he died a criminal's death on a cross. He was obedient unto death. Jesus died by the cruelest form of capital punishment, crucifixion. The Romans reserved the agonizing death of the crucifixion for slaves, for foreigners, and the Jews, they viewed death on the cross as a curse from God. Remember, he was made a curse for us. Verse 9. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor. I have to stop because the Message Bible starts that verse off with, because of that obedience, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The name of Jesus is elevated high. It has power and it has authority, the name of Jesus. And the Father is the one who gave the honor because of his obedience. Obedience is what God wants from all of us. You can turn to Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 21. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Take your burnt offerings and your other sacrifices and eat them yourself. Ooh. When I led your ancestors out of Egypt, it was not burnt offerings and sacrifices I wanted from them. This is what I told them. Obey me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Do everything as I say, and all will be well. God wanted obedience from his people. Obedience. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 22 through 23, Amplified Bible. Yeah, Dean, just Amplified. This is Samuel talking to Saul, King Saul. First assignment he gets, he doesn't obey. To the T. Samuel said, has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obedience to the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. The modern English version, it says, obedience is better than sacrifice. And a listening ear, than the fat of rams. Jesus was highly exalted and given the more excellent name, the name above all names, because of his obedience to his Father. Obedience is a big thing with God. And with it, if you're obedient, has a lot of promises and rewards that come along with it. Always. Always. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. You want to please the Lord? Obey your parents. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Obey your father and mother, then you will live a long, full life. Wow, what a promise. Obey. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey. Now, I should have told you this before. Obey is the Greek word. Hupakuo. Okay? And it means be obedient to. Be obedient to. Let me start that again. Children, be obedient to your parents the way the Lord wants, because this is the right thing to do. The command says you must respect your father and mother. This is the first command that has a promise with it. And this is the promise. Then all will go well with you. You want it to go well with you? Ooh. And you will have a long life on the earth. That's the promises. You want things to go well with you? You want that long life? Choose the life of obedience to the Lord and to His Word. So we are to read the Word and do what it says. I think that's what we have a hard time, right? We read it, but we don't do what it says because we don't believe it. We are believers. We are to believe because it is the truth. Is it not? Amen. Proverbs chapter 4. You knew I was headed there, didn't you, Dan? Verses 20 through 22. My sons and daughters, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. That's all your flesh. That's your whole body we're talking about. The more excellent name, the name above all names, the name of Jesus. His name has power and authority. Just as Jesus himself, if he were here today, same power. Same power that Jesus had and still has. His name carries the same power. And we are to use his name because he gave us the right to and the privilege to it. Yes, he did. Now, when it comes to prayer, here's a promise from Jesus regarding the use of his name in prayer. John chapter 16, verses 22 through 24. In the New King James. And in that day, now Jesus speaking, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Before this, people had to approach God through the priests. After Jesus' resurrection, the believer could approach God directly. We can approach God directly. See, we are kings and priests. Jesus made us, the believers, priests. Amen? Some of you got a question mark. Revelations. Chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 5 and 6. We're going to start with part B of 5. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's Jesus, folks. And has made us kings and priests. Kings and priests. To his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We are kings and we are priests. We don't need a man to intervene when we go to the Father. We can go to the Father because of Jesus Christ. We are righteous. When he looks at us, he doesn't see sin. He sees the righteousness of Christ. Jesus said, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Folks, I have a key. Okay? And this key, it unlocks my house. The reason I know it's the big one on the key ring. You know? And it says Titan. You know? Okay. I go up to the door and I might say that I unlocked the door. Right? But in reality, if you really think about it, I didn't unlock that door. The key did. If I didn't have that key, I can't unlock the door. It takes a key. You know, when it comes to starting my car, I can go and I can sit down in the driver's seat. I can press on that brake pedal. And I hit that button that says start. And when I hit it, only thing I see is on the dash, no key detected if I do not have the key fob. The key fob, though, is the important factor here in driving my car. I can't go nowhere without it. That's the key. This you might find interesting. I did. Key fob is a word used to describe a keychain and several other similar items and devices. The word fob, F-O-B, is believed to have originated from watch fobs, which existed as early as 1888. The fob refers to an ornament attached to a pocket watch chain. Keychains, remote car starters, garage door openers, and keyless entry devices on hotel rooms and doors are called fobs or key fobs. I thought it was pretty interesting. I wanted to share that with you. You know, but my point here is Then it takes a key. A key. Or a key fob. To open the door. Or to start the car. It takes a key. And by the way, I think you'll find this interesting. We've talked about this for a long time. You brought about they implant a chip now. You can get a chip implanted. And you know they can program that chip that they put in you? That you don't need to carry these things in your pocket. You just walk up to your door and go, open the door. Go out to your car. You don't need all that stuff. Boom, start your car. Ooh. Are we not getting in the end times here? Okay. Anyhow, though, my point is about the key. And there's a key to prayer, without which we can go nowhere in our prayer. This key unlocks the doors and the windows of heaven and will grant our every need. I didn't say every wish. I said our every need. Okay, because a lot of us get those things confused. Need and what wishes. You know, what do you need? God knows what you need. He knows what you need. Don't limit your needs to finances. There's a lot of other needs you have. But as soon as we say that scripture, my God will supply all my needs, everybody thinks it's financial we're talking about. No, we have a lot of other needs, do we not? And you know what we do when we do those? We limit God. You limit that power that's in that scripture, in those words. You limit it to finances. You can expound on that so much. So much. Jesus is our mediator, intercessor, advocate, and Lord. See, he stands between us and the Father. No place in the Bible are we to pray to Jesus. We are always told to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Therefore, to be sure our prayers reach the Father, we must come according to the rules that are laid down in the Word. That's what the Word says. When Jesus said, in that day, he was talking about the day we live in now. He made this promise just before he went to Calvary. The new covenant was about to come into being. So a good way to think of that, I rewrote it. In the day of the new covenant, you shall ask me nothing. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. While Jesus was on the earth, his disciples did not use his name in prayer. That is why he said, until now you have asked nothing in my name. It wasn't until after he arose from the dead and kicked butt in Hades, by the way, and was seated at the right hand of the Father, far above all principalities, powers, might, and dominions, that the church, that's us, could pray in that more excellent name that he obtained, the name above every name. John 16:24, in the International Child's Bible, ask and you will receive. Period. There's a period at the end of mine. And your joy will be the fullest joy. So that means it's going to be running over. Fullest. That's awesome. His name guarantees answer to prayer. It does. It's in the name. And closely associated with that, which we have been talking about in John 16 here, because the name is involved, very similar, but it has a different application. And it has a promise that Jesus made regarding the use of his name. It's another one. And we discussed this last week. And I think it needs reinforced and repeated. And this is what I felt. So in John 14, 13 through 14, New King James, Jesus said, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Jesus was not talking about prayer right there, was he? Nope. John 16, he was talking about prayer. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Here he says, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." He's not talking about praying to the Father to do something. Here he is talking about using the name of Jesus, his name, against the enemy in our daily lives. And the Greek word here for ask is eltio. It means demand of something due that is yours. Whatever you demand in my name, I, Jesus, will do it. The Greek literally says, "Whatever you shall demand as your rights and privileges, that shall I do." That's why when you go back and look at those things, it brings a little bit more clarification, does it not? In Acts chapter 3, Peter knew he had something to give that crippled man at the temple gate called Beautiful, did he not? See, he knew it in his spirit, man. So he had the confidence and he had the boldness to say what he said to that crippled man. "I don't have a nickel to my name, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." He demanded that the man get up and walk in the name of Jesus. And he walked, hallelujah. That man got up and he walked. See, there's power in the name of Jesus. There's authority in the name of Jesus. Jesus, when he was here, did he not speak to a fig tree? Did it listen to the man? Did it? He commanded power and he had authority, did he not? His name has the same power and authority, and we can use the name of Jesus. Peter just did. A man didn't have a chance in the world of thinking about it. He said, "Walk!" And he reached down, and that man just said, "Okay, I'm up. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." That's all that man could probably say. Jesus. Jesus, the name above all names. So you can make a demand on the rights and privileges you have as a child of God. But you can't make a demand on those rights if you don't know what they are. We need to realize that under the new covenant, which God has established with the church through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have rights and privileges. See, the more time we spend in the Word, the more enlightenment we will have on our rights and our privileges as a child of God. You are children of the Most High God. You're his kids. Just think about that. Think about the intimacy. You're his kids. You are a king's kid. So what are you? King's kid. That's what you are. You need to say that and say that with proud and boldness. Somebody come look at you and say, I'm a king's kid. Man, there's so much you have. And they want to know, how'd you get to be a king's kid? Oh, man, that's when the doors open. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So we have the right and we have privileges. And we have the privilege to use the name of Jesus. Fully and unconditionally guaranteed in that name is all the power and authority that Jesus ever had and still has. See, we think of what he had. Well, he still has it. And his name has that same power, and we have the name. And when we use the name, who hears us? The mediator, the advocate, the intercessor. He has it. And he goes right to the Father with it. Jesus' name has all the authority, all the power, all the dignity, all the majesty, and all the glory that Jesus, the person, has. The name stands for the person. Now, do you see what Peter did? Peter was bold. He understood what Jesus meant when he said, whatever you demand in my name, I will do. So he said, I have the name. And it's mine, right and privileged to use that name. So in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk, he told the man. Peter demanded in Jesus' name, and the man got up. Because Jesus strengthened the muscles and ligaments in his leg. He straightened out his ankles and his feet, and he put him to walking. Jesus' name did it. The name represents the person. A person went about here on this earth, what? Healing. Did he not? His name commands that same authority and power to heal the sick. When you read through the book of Acts, you'll see that early believers, they used the name of Jesus in that same way, mostly through the whole book. Very little is said about their praying for the sick. Now, they did on occasion. Paul, on the island of Malta, look to Acts chapter 28. We'll read verses 7 and 8. There were some fields around that same area. Remember, this is just where he got bit with a snake and shook it off and said, get off me. They were owned by a man named Publius, the most important Roman official on the island. He welcomed us into his home and was very good to us. We stayed in his house for 3 days. Publius's father was very sick. He had a fever and dysentery. But Paul went to him. He wasn't worried about catching it, was he? Because the spirit of life, Christ Jesus, was within Paul. And he prayed for the man. He laid his hands on the man and healed him. Healed him. Prayer has its places. But in Acts, most of the time, they simply use the name of Jesus. I'm just telling you, we can use the name of Jesus. We can use the name of Jesus. Several years after the healing of that crippled man, for instance, Peter again in action. He said to that man who was bedfast for 8 years. Man was bedfast for 8 years. Acts chapter 9, verse 34. Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Jesus Christ heals you." Then he followed it by, "Get up, roll up your sleeping mat." Gave him a command. Peter spoke the name in faith. The man believed in the name and he had faith. Didn't guess what? He was given a command. Now he put his faith in action. He got up and he rolled up his sleeping mat. Because it says, and he was healed instantly. It took faith. It took faith. And it was the power in the name of Jesus Christ. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. Just as the crippled man was in Acts chapter 3. Faith in the name of Jesus had healed him before many witnesses. And the news went out just like it would today on social media. Man, it was fast. It spread unbelievably quick. And everybody wanted to go see. They wanted to go see Aeneas. Verse 35, it says, "Then the whole population of Lydda and Sharon saw Aeneas walking around." The whole population. "And they turned to the Lord." This one physical healing brought about many spiritual healings that day. They turned to the Lord because they saw more than a crippled man walking around. They saw proof that Jesus was alive from the dead and had authority over disease. Because wasn't it the same way as the centurion? When he had sent to have Jesus come to pray for his servant, and when he realized he was coming, he sent out another one and told him, "Don't bother coming, just speak the word." Jesus didn't have to go lay hands on the servant, because Jesus looked and said, "Wow, this dude got it from faith. Okay, he's healed. That's it." Jesus went about his business, went back, the centurion's servant was healed. Jesus didn't have to go lay hands on him. It was the power and authority of Jesus. And we have that same power in the name of Jesus. So I don't care how distant you are from someone, and when you're speaking the name of Jesus because there's something going on and you can't be there, if they're in Pittsburgh and something's happened, you take the name of Jesus and speak. Am I right, Sister Janice? You take the name of Jesus and you call out and you speak. There's no distance. Jesus is right there. And Jesus heard. And Jesus responded. And he's awake. And he's in his right mind. And he's on his way to total recovery. In Jesus' name. The apostles, they did not have some unknown power that we don't have today. It was the name above all names, the name of Jesus, that did it. The name has not been taken away from the church. That name belongs to us. Why doesn't the name do what it did then? Why doesn't that name perform the same miracles it did then? The name should be doing the same for us today as it did then. The name can perform the same miracles today. It still has the same power and it still has the same authority that it always had. So why doesn't it? Well, don't look at the name. Because the name today is the same as it was yesterday. And it will always be the same forever because it represents Jesus Christ, who is the same today, yesterday, and forever. That's why it hasn't changed. In Acts chapter 3, verse 16, Peter said to the man, this is the Message version, faith in Jesus' name put this man, whose condition you know so well, on his feet. Yes, faith, and nothing but faith, put this man healed and whole right before your eyes. Faith and nothing but faith. We have the name, but our faith has been weak. And we need to correct this. And how do we correct this? How do we correct the strength in our faith? Romans 10:17. How does it go? Faith and hearing by the word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Our faith in the name of Jesus is increased every time we read the word. See, by reading the word of God and what it has to say about the name, it will continually increase your faith. We need to feed on God's word along these lines until our spirits are so educated, and then our faith will rise to higher levels. Then it will be just as natural for us to act on the word as it was for Peter. And if you see things sometimes they're not happening right away, don't take it as defeat. Don't think he hasn't heard you. See, that's the first thing the devil wants to plant in your head. He wants to let you and make you think he didn't hear you about your healing or about the salvation of someone else. You can claim someone else's salvation. You claim it in the name of Jesus. Someone you got concerned about, you're worried about. Brother Hagin did it for his own brother, who was so distanced from the family. And the day he realized that he could do that in the name of Jesus, Brother Hagin said, in the name of Jesus, I claim salvation from my brother Dub. And he did it with a confidence and a boldness in the name of Jesus. He never gave another thought. It took a few years. But one day, he found out his brother accepted the Lord because he called and told him, wow, what have I missed all these years? But once you do it, believe it, it's done. It's a done deal. Your body's going to speak to you. And that head of yours, man, because I got one of them heads too. It speaks. And we got to shut it off. And we got to confess the word. We got to be positive with the word, what the word says. Because the word is true. The word, let it have the final say. Let it have the final say. And you will have victory in the name of Jesus. There's power in that name. And remember, he defeated the principalities, powers, mights, and dominions. Did he not? Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. New King James. God raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. That is the future. Jesus is the champion. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. Psalm said, he has no rival. He has no equal. Jesus obtained the more excellent name, the name above all names. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, New King James. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he disarmed them. They have nothing to attack you with. They've been disarmed. They've been disarmed. That's why he does it through a thought process. He speaks to your head. He inflicts things on your body. But as soon as that affliction comes, speak to it in the name of Jesus. Don't let it move in and take up residence. And then wonder why it's taking so hard to get it out. Could have done moved in, set up, and he set his toothbrush on your sink. The principalities and powers here are the same as the ones he talks about in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Is that right, Mr. Osmond? But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. The principalities and powers we wrestle against are the same ones that he overcame, that he spoiled, and that he triumphed over. And as one translation says, he put to naught. Put to naught means reduced to nothing. So as far as we are concerned, he reduced them to nothing. Nothing. She can't do anything when you bind the spirit and cast it out in Jesus' name. Amen, sir? Amen. No wonder when he said, in my name they will cast out demons. In my name they will cast out demons. Sorry, but you don't have the authority and I don't have the authority to do that. But the name of Jesus does, and we have the right and the privilege to use that name to cast those demons out. Jesus met Satan and his cohorts on their home turf, and he defeated them. The defeat that Jesus made of the devil, of sin, of sickness, and disease is wrapped up in the name. And that name belongs to us. The name, when we use it, will bring into reality of our lives, in the reality of our lives, what he has already accomplished for us. See, that's the reason why the devil fights so hard to keep us from knowing about it. The power in the name, and that it is our right to use it. Why and how I say that? Because he brings distractions. He brings distractions. I wonder why your prayer time gets interrupted. It's him trying to bring a distraction. You got to push it aside and move forward. It's time to read your Bible. Well, I need to read the paper first or read this article. That's a distraction. Push it away. Get to the Word. Well, I need to be in church this morning. But you know what? I'm tired. I was up late last night. Well, where were you at? Well, it was Saturday night. You know, I went out with the group, and that's a distraction, and that's an excuse. You need to be in the house of God. You need to be in the house of God because you're hearing the Word preached, and the Word will bring you strength, and it will help you to defeat the onslaught of the devil because he doesn't quit. He doesn't quit. When I was a sinner, He was using me. I thought my life was fun. I realized, I look back and I'm like, that was no fun. Drinking all night, getting up with a headache, throwing up and all that other stuff, that's not fun. That's not fun. You think about it. That life was miserable. He had control of it. Now I've got control of my life. I know what to do now, and I know how to protect myself. And I protect myself with the Word. I surround myself with the Word. And I plead the blood over me, over my family. Because I know how precious that blood is. But I know there's power in the blood. That blood came from the body of Jesus. It carries power. His name carries power. So when Jesus says, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth, so go. So go. I'm giving you my name. I'm giving you authority. Go in my name. Let's take that name with all of its power, all of its authority, and move forward. Quit moving backwards. Move forward in the name of Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Modern English version. He has delivered us from the power, the authority of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. His spoiling the principalities and powers reduced them to nothing. Overcoming them, defeating them, delivered us from the power of darkness. That means from the power and authority of Satan. Satan has no authority to control the church, the believers. No, the name belongs to you, and you can use it to put Satan on the run every time. I'm going to say it again. Every time. Every time. Circumstances, situations, he's going to throw them at you. You're going to think that it didn't. It does, and it will. It does, and it will. Exercise your right to use the name of Jesus. Whatever comes against you, as soon as you feel something, don't wait. Take authority over it in the name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Faith in the name of Jesus is not knowing that it can work for you. Faith in the name of Jesus is knowing that it will work for you. Use the name. Amen? Amen. I got the signs. Thank you. Hallelujah.